Well, thank yous. Oh, I mean, thank yous. Let's get that part out of the way first. You ready?
Here we go. There we go.
Yeah, because I can't deny that my identity as Bowser has something to do with this, and I am still doing shows called Bowser's Rock and Roll Party, in which I hire, you know, and package other groups. My whole experience with Sha Na Na has led us to this moment because we have had such great relationships over the years with the authentic artists who did this music in the first place that we ended up reviving. And it's because of watching them struggle with this for so long and watching audiences get duped, which is really the primary thing, watching audiences looking at shows that they have no idea what they're seeing, and they're looking at four people up there who are way too young to be the actual people. How did this happen? And when you speak to them later, consumers generally have a reaction like, wow, how can that happen in America? That's not something that is possible to happen in our country. And that's why this piece of legislation is actually needed. There's something fundamentally un-American going on here in what has become, I call, a sophisticated form of identity theft. And this kind of identity theft is really a very well-worked movement now in which unscrupulous promoters and or agents put together units. They have identified gray areas, you know, sort of cracks in the system where you can kind of get away with, especially with the older groups, nobody knew who the individuals were. You can stick any four people up there on stage, pretend that they're them, dare somebody to sue you, litigate them to death, you know, motion and cross-complain them to death for 7 years, and then just find another license. What they do is they get sort of licenses from people who didn't have the rights to the name to begin with and wave them around as if they were meaningful. So the reason for the Truth in Music, for the necessity of the Truth in Music bill, is to finally shift, and this is a very important point from the legal standpoint, to finally shift the burden of proof to the imposter groups, so that if a consumer complains about a show believing that there are no recording members in the performing group, the group that's on stage that night, the Attorney General can go in, ask to stop that show before the show happens, and that day in court will then reflect, well, you have no recording members in this performing group, you have no federally registered trademark for this name either, what do you got? And then if somebody says, well, Your Honor, you know, we have common law rights, which is possible, the next step is, well, show us what those common law rights actually are, and let's see whether they actually mean anything. So we believe that the Truth in Music law finally will eliminate these gray areas and eliminate these cracks in the system that have allowed these imposter groups to continue duping consumers for what is now well on to almost 20 years. And this state, which has always been a great music state, you know, the people that pay their hard-earned entertainment money to go see shows simply deserve better than seeing shows that have no connection to the original artists. You know, we've drawn the line at one. You have to have one recording member in the performing group, the group that's on stage that night, in order to be legal under Truth in Music, and, you know, otherwise we perceive that to be a ripoff. You know, and because of our vast experience with audiences, we think that that's kind of where audiences, consumers, draw the line as well. The hardest hit have been the old-timers, largely because they didn't have much visual identification. You know, maybe they were on the Ed Sullivan Show a couple of times. Also, the African-American groups have been the hardest hit, the oldest ones. The Coasters, Drifters, and Platters are good examples. Sometimes the record companies wouldn't even put their pictures on the albums in those days because they were afraid it wouldn't sell as much in the 50s. You know, we were dealing with a different society back then. And so the visual identification didn't come with them, and consequently, they're easy to knock off. You know, you can put any four people up there, and, you know, they oftentimes, I have this idea called the real one, where they'll put three 40-year-olds up on stage and one 65-year-old so that the audience will say, oh, look, those guys are too young, but that must be the real one. Okay? So, and it's not, you know, it's a real 65-year-old person, but by no means a real coaster, drifter, or platter. In the meantime, the people who are the authentic artists are sitting at home, not working that night, not working anywhere near as much as they should. And I guess that's really, for me, my main overall point, which I'll get to after just one other mention, which is Frankie Goes to Hollywood. It has come to our attention recently, even though the old-timers are probably the hardest hit, this will continue. There's a group called Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which was an 80s group, that, again, they had some music videos, but I don't think people are that familiar with the individuals in that group. And they've already have, for New Year's Eve, this past New Year's Eve in Miami, a Miami Herald reporter wrote an expose of a show at a club where people were being charged $200 a person to get in for something called the New Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which had absolutely nothing to do with Frankie Goes to Hollywood, is attempting to register the name Frankie Goes to Hollywood at the Patent and Trademark Office, and it's once again just a ripoff. So the beat goes on, even though I say the old-timers are going to be the hardest hit, the beat does go on, and this, the Truth in Music Law will at least stop this from happening for the older generations and the younger generations. Having said that, I want to say just one more thing about why I'm doing this and about the older generations. And that's specifically that for those of you who are much younger than we are, and didn't live through the civil rights movement, you know, of the 50s and the 60s, there's a very particular way in which this music of groups like the Coasters, Drifters, and Platters changed the world, and brought races together in America. It really was instrumental in changing society, because what was fundamentally African-American music appealed to my generation, our generation, which, you know, of people of every description of our generation. Of course, it was the baby boomers, so there were a zillion of us, so we accrued power as time went on. But this music had very specific impact, I think, on the movement for civil rights in America. And consequently, the people that pioneered this music are very important people in the history of this country. And to watch them struggle, as I have for the past 15 to 20 years, with trying to fend off people pretending to be them, is just a heartbreaking thing. And sometimes you'll see audiences who have no idea what they're watching giving standing ovations to performers who they're assuming, well, they've got to be the Coasters. It says they're the Coasters, because this is America. They have to be the Coasters. So I applaud their legacy. I applaud everything they've done. I applaud the way they've changed the world. And they don't even know they're applauding the wrong people. So the question still is, how can this happen in America? And the answer is, Truth in Music will stop it from happening in America. But these pioneers of this kind of music really deserve much better than they've had to deal with over these past 20 years. And the imposter groups need to, as Bowser might say, yip, 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 boom, 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 get a job.